Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
You could say she was none the wiser.
But I'm too drunk. This is not like a nice snappy point that it could have been.
Do you know what? You could do like a total Love Island thing called Get Some Nun.
Yeah, he sounds like a bit of a count.
Am I right?
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I am so excited to introduce our guest for this episode. She is the brilliant singer, songwriter, producer, as well as a Brit Awards nominee. It's Noreena Paolo.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for joining the Drunk Women. And speaking of drunk women, hello, Hannah and Katie.
Hi.
Let's do this. Just a quick nod to the very generous Unicorn Gin, who we are drinking right now. Unicorn Gin is so fun because it has this little sparkle that runs through it, and it just makes you feel a little bit more fun with your G&T. So thank you very much for sending us such a generous bundle. Unicorn made with real unicorns.
Unicorn tears.
Yeah. Right. Noreena, I was wondering if you could kick us off by telling us, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, in a sort of roundabout way. I've been a victim of different crimes, but this is my most exciting crime.
Okay.
I should share my most exciting. Seeing as we're drinking unicorn gin, I should really go for it with a unicorn crime. And I suppose because it happened to my family, I can claim that it happened to me.
Ooh.
So when I was a kid, I grew up in Jersey, and we lived in a house that had a little, like a separate part, or a little wing. And because Jersey is a tourist place, you can rent it during the summer, during the high season. And my mum got this lady to show up, and she said, oh, I'd really like to rent your little cottage for the summer. And my mum was like, great. And she goes, here's the entire summer's rent up front. My mum was like, ooh. I love you.
In cash as well.
In cash.
Wow.
This is in the 80s though, to be fair.
You could carry cash around. There wasn't the limit, right. Was there, on what you could deposit? Anyway, sorry, continue.
But it was fun 50s fact. With the bank
oh, man.
Seal.
You never saw 50s in the 80s.
I know, 80s. I don't think I'd ever seen one until this
like
point.
It's red.
And so my mum was just beside herself. She just thought this lady was wonderful. And this lady said, oh, I've got a little daughter. We might stay for a bit longer. I might enroll my daughter in the local school.
Oh.
So my mum was like, sure. So my mum pockets the cash, gets very excited about what she's going to spend in Laura Ashley that week. And the lady pitches up with this adorable little girl.
Okay.
And she stays longer than the summer. And my mum was like, this is great. I can go even madder in Laura Ashley. How did this happen? Little girl joins the local school. My mum's like, this is great. She's doing the school run. She's happy. She's got this new friend who comes in for gin over the evening. And my dad travelled a lot for work, but he also had another family. But that's another story for another time.
Ooh, that's a crime. So
dad was travelling a lot and back and forth to South Africa. That I tell this now, it will all become clear in a moment. Anyway, we're sitting around. This is like October time, so she's been here a while. We're sitting around, we're watching telly, when suddenly there's a knock at the door and the house gets stormed by CID. Like, I'm talking like 20 officers. And they say to my father, you know, you need to let us into the flat next door. My dad was like, well, my tenants are in there. And they were like, yes, they are, but we need you to come with us because we're going to storm it.
What?
Anyway, cut a long story short, the lady was a drugs mule for a really, like, dodgy drug dealer in Marbella was laundering his Marbella drug money through South Africa.
After Laura Ashley.
No. But you know the really sad part is that she was hiding these Krugerrands in her Charles pencil case and teddy bears.
Oh,
and she was giving them to the little girl to bring through customs. So they were stuffing teddy bears with thousands of pounds worth of laundered money.
Yeah.
And they ripped the house apart. So then they came into our house and started like taking pictures down, checking that it hadn't been hidden.
Wow.
And they took her to sell. We had the little girl stay with us for a few days because they had to go to foster care.
Was it actually her daughter?
Yeah, it was her daughter.
Okay,
right.
So I think the daughter was the kid of the drugs baron guy.
Wow.
And so she was doing the trips and bringing the money back and forth and using their kid to hide the money.
Oh my God, that's an amazing crime.
But because I was so shallow at like 10 or 11 years old, I was just really happy because there were all these cool pencil cases left behind.
You had to keep the evidence.
They were like fluffy, you know? Do you remember in the 80s? You
had a fluffy one.
Oh, absolutely.
And there was a Garfield one, and I was like...
And they had so much money in them.
Money was all gone.
Oh.
Yeah.
And something that made me feel dizzy. Well, I'm glad, you know, every cloud.
Your dad
that's
wasn't wild. Involved.
No,
that's just a red herring.
But your dad also.
But initially, they thought my dad was involved.
Because of the South African connection.
He'd been there. And my dad was.
And like, he looked guilty because he's like, I just have another family there.
No, everybody knew that already. I mean, everybody knew that he had two families except children.
Right,
but that's, that really is another story.
And did the little girl know that she was a drugs mule?
I don't think so.
Wow.
I think she must know now. Every now and then, I want to look her up on Facebook, but then I don't know if her name was real.
Sure. Yeah. How old was she?
She was a year younger than me, so she was probably... This must have been... I was about 9, so she was about 8.
Wow. Yeah.
And I remember her coming into my room to stay that for those few nights.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes I remember that story and I'm like, what a weird thing to happen.
Yeah. That's huge.
Wild.
And then I think it was used as there was a program in the 90s about CID true stories and they dramatised them, and that was a story.
Who played you?
I don't think I registered.
Oh, that's amazing to be watching TV and then like a load of armed police just break into your house.
And I think my mum was really upset because they'd just laid shag pile carpet.
I like how practical your mum sounds.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, all right.
She's all about
I was
home
wrong.
Decor.
There's crazy, but my carpet, guys.
Yeah.
My carpet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's a doozy of a crime. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Also, did that just, that must have exploded in Jersey. Like, the press around that would have been insane.
Yeah, it was. It was because.
Local festival this weekend, but also.
Yeah. Although, I mean, one of the things worth noting about Jersey is a lot of money. Not always from, you know, upright practices.
Right.
Goes through there. So I wonder how many things don't get put in the papers.
Yeah.
Wow. So there must be like all sorts of stuff going on. But yeah, that was, it was a big story for me.
Do you know how they got a tip off?
I think the security at the airports had noticed this woman coming back way too often.
And that is one fat bear.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
What a way to kick us off.
That's amazing. Wow. Yes.
And segue into some more true crime. This one, an actual case that we are going to try to solve. Are we ready?
Yes. Cheers, everybody. Cheers. Let's solve some crimes.
Good solving of crimes. Right. This case involves the murders of at least three people, one of which was a nun.
Ooh.
And another a blacksmith. And this case also surrounds a tangled web woven by two forbidden lovers.
Ooh.
Mariana and Giovanni.
Of course it is. Oh my God, I want to watch that like Hallmark movie immediately.
Well, I think a really shitty one was made in the 90s, but we'll get to that. So first of all, what country are we in, guys? Mariana and Giovanni.
Italy, right? Italy.
Thank you. That would have been a real letdown for the podcast. Like,
I don't know.
Germany? Yes, indeed. We are in Italy, and to be specific, Milan.
If there's a blacksmith, this is an old school story, right?
Well done, Paolo. I knew you were a ringer. So that's my next question, is what century do we think we're talking about? And I will give you a few more clues, not that this will narrow in, unless you're a real, like, history buff. Katie, I'm looking at you.
I knew what blacksmiths were. Kind of.
So a reminder that the victims were a nun and a blacksmith. And one of the defendants in the case cited a lack of free will due to the influence of diabolical forces. However you say that in Italian. And the other defendant was a count.
Whoa.
Not enough counts these days.
There really isn't.
I never meant a count. I want a count. Anyway, and also torture was used to elicit confessions. Ooh. So I don't know if that helps you go back, but which century do you think we're talking about?
Well, that could be any century since blacksmith existed.
Yeah, true.
It's not like we don't have nuns anymore, really, do we?
So well, maybe. They do in Italy, though. Because that's where the Pope lives.
Yeah. Very true.
And Silvio Berlusconi, and like he runs a pretty weird ship, right?
So. Yeah.
Well, so it could be what we're saying, 80s Italy or
1980s. Go back. Go way back.
And when do the Vespers come in? That's all I want to know.
Oh, God,
medieval.
Yeah, I guess if they're talking about it, sounds like a witch trial kind of thing going on.
Yeah, it's got that.
I'm saying 1561.
Oh, Hannah is very much the closest.
Ooh.
That's very close to when
you're
Mariana was born, actually.
Oh,
the incidents of which we are to speak happened in the early 17th century. So well done.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you very much.
Right. So before I unravel some more details about this juicy, juicy case, why do you think, based on the information I've given, why do you think the love affair between Mariana and Giovanni was forbidden?
Brother and sister?
Ooh.
Someone comes from Jersey. I come from the Isle of Wight. We get it all the time. I can say that, guys.
Very, very good guess. Not in this case.
I've got a feeling she's a nun.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ooh.
George, you're back on the forest. Forget what I said.
Yes, blacksmiths.
She was indeed a nun.
Is she called Maria or Mariana?
It was Mariana. Oh. That was
Maria would have been great. It would have been perfect.
Oh, well, sit tight because there was a name change and you have called it. So, yes, Mariana was a nun and Giovanni was Count Giovanni Paolo Osio. Or Count Osio, and he was a married man, to add insult to sexy injury.
was she a full nun or a trainee nun?
She had to have these little pee plates.
Are you getting it sort of like a Clinton intern
like,
vibe?
In the Sound of Music, when she was training to be a nun.
How do you solve a problem like Maria? Yeah.
She was full nun.
I will tell you a little bit about her, including that she changed her name to Virginia Maria at the age of 13, which was when she was sent to the convent by her father.
Oh.
I know, it always starts with a father. All of these cases, seriously. Virginia Maria, which I suppose translates to the Virgin Mary, as if she's getting it on with Count Sexy Town.
She didn't mean Count in the middle
of a nunnery. Sorry, I know you'll get to that.
You just wait.
In the middle of a nunnery.
In front of everyone.
So Mariana's mother had died when she was young, and there was some arguing over her estate, as the family were very wealthy. And Mariana's mom had apparently left half of the money to Mariana and the other half to her brother, but inexplicably left out another sister.
Ooh.
I'm sorry I couldn't find out any more information, but I'm just thinking of those family dynamics.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just don't like how you look at me. I don't know. So the family were well off, and Mariana had some money, but as I said, at the age of 13, her father made her go to a convent, because Italy.
Oh, he remarried and took her money or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Because well, if she gets married, they get her money. Yeah. She becomes a nun, they get to keep it, probably.
Yeah, it's dowry, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys are so cynical. I think that he put her there because he's a good father and he
believed
in God. Best education for her.
Wants his daughter to never have sex. She went, ha ha.
I think you're right, to be honest.
Yeah, that's very good thinking. Very good. So 13 in a convent, did she like it? What do we think?
I'm going to go with no.
Why, Katie?
Because she wants to be out there having it off with counts. Spending her dowry at the Italian medieval equivalent of Laura Ashley.
Very fair guess.
No. Come on, she's a kid, right?
That would have been my guess. But apparently at first, at the age of 13, she really enjoyed it. Maybe her home life wasn't so great. Who knows? Yeah. But she took to the sisterhood in every way, in every sense of the word. And she was pious as fuck, guys. She was really into it.
That's the name of your album.
Yeah. Oh, I have so many good album names, but we'll talk about that later. at first she liked it. But then she hits her early 20s. And a handsome count moves next door to the convent.
Okay.
So this is what happens. He catches her eye. We don't know exactly how they met, but initially they just began exchanging letters, which she would lower down on a rope to his garden.
Cute.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this is like infidelity and like against God, but that's super cute. I mean, like, we text these days. Like,
yeah.
I want to lower a rope with a letter.
That's kind of cartoonish.
It is a little bit, but a little bucket with some words from the Virgin Mary.
Yeah. Do you think he knew what he was doing, pitching up next door to a nunnery full of young women?
Oh,
he totally knew what he was doing, didn't he?
Of course he did.
You think he's like those male teachers that get jobs at all girls schools?
Yeah. Right, he's a count. He can live anywhere.
You're right. We were talking about property. I think he probably had a few options as a count. Is anybody ready for a top up? Because I am.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
think it seems soon, but it's just time.
Cheers.
Okay, a huge thanks to Firebox for sending us such a generous bundle. We have some very delicious chocolate-covered coffee beans.
Yes, delicious.
Which I've pretty much replaced regular coffee with them. I'm like, why have coffee when I can eat chocolate-covered ones? And some lovely strawberry chocolate bars. And I like how bold they are because they're both named with expletives. So it's fucking strong chocolate-covered coffee beans. And thanks for putting up with my shit chocolate bars. Amazing. I like you. You're like the rebel I always wanted to be. Right. So back to the count. So they're lowering these letters, but the relationship escalates. And apparently the count's wife did not know about this initially. You could say she was none the wiser. Oh! Oh, celebrating 13 years in Britain. Thank you. Thank you very much for the puns. There's going to be more of those hanging. This escalated from letters to sexual encounters pretty quickly.
It's Italy.
How do we know this?
Everybody's having it off.
Did she keep a diary?
I don't know. There was a lot of testimony at the trial, records were kept. Of course, there's the question of how accurate is it?
I bet it was another bitchy nun that's just like, she's gone over the wall again, she's got her bucket out again, she's got a pen and she's got her quill out.
Well, Hannah George, remember that you've joked about that, because sometimes jokes carry truth. So, a passionate affair had begun, according to Jealous Nun number one. Usually the activity would take place in Mariana's room in the middle of the night. Now, a blacksmith helped facilitate the affair by using his skills. How? what would he have provided to allow this affair to occur?
I guess a horse, just a horse. That's the only thing they do.
A
right?
metal ladder.
To climb up to her window.
That's such a good guess.
Yeah. I think her hair's long enough to do a Rapunzel,
Ooh, Rapunzel.
There. That's all I'm seeing her.
I just can't see how Blacksmith comes into this, but I want to know.
I'll give you a clue. The convent was locked at night, and Mariana...
Keys, thank you.
There you go.
Knocks up a Savile key.
There you go.
Has she gone too far? We don't know.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Yes, so a blacksmith helped facilitated by making some counterfeit keys for Count Osio. Osio? Osio. It's up to you. To let himself in and get some none. But soon, as Hannah pointed out, more and more people are in on this affair, because how do you keep that a secret, really? Namely, the other nuns who were probably jealous as hell, don't you think?
Do you know what? You could do like a total Love Island thing called Get Some Nun.
It's like, I would actually watch that.
How effective are you as a guy? If you can sell Get Some Nun, you win $1 million or something.
Okay, get ITV on the phone, because this is a goer.
Get Some Nun.
Would she give up God for your penis?
I genuinely don't think this is a bad idea.
So if we don't do it, someone will.
So many levels.
Apologies to any Catholics listening.
Oh, I'm a Catholic.
Just oh, we can do anything! Yeah.
You're fine.
Ching,
we
ching,
love
ching.
This shit. It's great.
So more and more people are in on the affair. Mariana... I cannot commit to how I'm going to pronounce these names. Like, a part of me wants to do this really bad fake Italian accent, and so I keep pulling back at the last minute. Mariana becomes pregnant, but it is a stillbirth. I know. Again, just this thing of hiding it. I know the habits are really loose. Is that why they're loose?
Yeah.
Like, ostensibly it's modesty, but maybe it's like, just in case, girls. So obviously she's devastated, she's traumatized. So after that, she tries to break off the affair. She's like, we're done, and they don't see each other for months. This is where things take a very bizarre turn. Allegedly, she tries a very bizarre and very disgusting practice to try to free herself of her lust for Count Osio. Uh-oh. Any guesses, ladies?
Did she block him on Instagram?
Yes. How gross.
Well, that's
just accept it, Mariana.
Yeah, come on. He's got a life to lead.
Leeching?
No, a little grosser than that.
Oh, not enemas.
Genitals.
Oh, you're in the right.
No, I don't want to go any further.
Okay, we're going to have to, though. I'm sorry. This is how... Sorry, go.
I was going to say female genital mutilation, but it sounds like I don't need to. We've got that. What is this?
Oh, no. So... coprophagia, if we're familiar with that term.
I don't know what that is.
Which is the consumption of feces.
Oh, no, that's not what I thought it was. Oh,
you just wear copper, like
no,
copper.
No, I thought this was like the blacksmith would come back. Showers. I'm completely confused.
Well, I think it does refer to any sort of poo play.
Oh. Well, you were half right, so
you
can hold your head
I
high.
I wish I wasn't even right, but
I'm sorry, Narita. We're only going to swim in this foul pond for a couple more lines.
When you said coprophilia, I honestly thought the blacksmith was about to be
reappearing. So apparently this was a remedy back then to try to take away your lust for somebody, and I have to say I think that would work for me.
Do you mean their poop or your poop?
Yeah, theirs.
How did she get hold of that?
I don't have the... It raises more questions than it answers. Apparently she drank it in tea because we're not
maybe
heathens.
Things are not that bad in 2018. Yeah,
right. Little perspective, guys.
I mean, normally to get over someone, you just block them and then you just never return their calls.
Yeah, chat with some girlfriends, get drunk. Yeah. No need to take it so far.
I'm breaking up with you. Can I have a little bit of your poop, please? Right.
Just get me a little nugget.
Oh my god.
And they just having their poo would do it.
Oh, the fact they give it to you would be like, this is not the right life partner for me. He openly gave
you
me one of those.
You failed the test, and now I never have to share a bathroom with you ever again.
The kicker is, it didn't help. She couldn't help herself. Even after doing that, she went back for more. If anything, it stoked the fires because Mariana soon gets pregnant again. Not that she is like great. There's no Planned Parenthood in the convent, so it's going to happen. This time she has the child.
Oh, wow.
And the child ends up living, again, I have a lot of questions about this, but the child ends up living with the Count and his wife. And it says that Count Ossio acknowledged her as his illegitimate child, but 2 years later.
Wow.
Which is bizarre.
Wait, what?
So where was she for the first 2 years? Was she
at his house? But this is what I don't understand. Oh. What a heartwarmer. He acknowledges the illegitimacy of her.
Why does she even have this baby? Like, in her cell? At the Count's house? They're like, oh, maybe she's pregnant. Like...
Well, so by now a lot of the nuns are in on it, so I'm sure that they probably helped her give birth, and she's hiding it under the habit.
Oh, that's like a Pitch Perfect kind of movie that I want to see. You know?
Nun Perfect. Yeah, I don't know how she's hiding it from everyone, keeping it from the head of nuns. I'm guessing 17th century priests were pretty thick about conception and birth. They were probably just making fun of her, like, she's eating too much pasta, am I right? High five. Because men never change. Ho ho, chubby nun. So there are a handful of nuns in on it, and she's starting to get so anxious that this is going to be disclosed, and Count Ossio even more so. So one of the nuns threatens to disclose the relationship. What happens next?
Murder.
Murder does happen. Who does the deed?
I feel like it's probably Virgin Mary. She's got the secret to keep. I think Ossio is Ossio. Already admitted to his wife that he's had a child out of wedlock. So
sure.
I think she's maybe got more to lose. It's her life. It's her family. It's her sisterhood. Mm-hmm. I think... Oh, God. Yeah, that's really sad if it is her, though, isn't it? Because she's been forced to kill...
Is it a crime? She'd be kicked out of the nunnery, but would she be, like, hung or anything? If it becomes apparent that she's had an illegitimate baby...
That's a really good question. Was it technically against the law to have sex as a nun, to have... probably. I'm going to go with probably... Not sure.
Or you'd be cast out. So as a woman in the 16th...
You're pretty much done
dead,
for.
Right.
Yeah. Who do you think did the murder, Katie?
I think the Count paid the blacksmith to murder the nun that was going to blackmail them.
Yeah, that sounds
dirty.
That sounds very Midsommar Murders.
It does,
with that.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Sometimes what you come up with is more exciting than what happened. So Ossio actually kills the nun. Mariana is complicit in the murder, though.
Ooh.
And she tells, so she's aware it's going to happen. She consents to it. And she tells all the other nuns that if they spill the beans, they're next. The murder is covered up simply because they just spread a rumor that the dead nun had run away from the convent. So it's a pretty easy...
Man, Mariana is ruling with an iron fist at this nunnery.
She really is.
Well, the Count's probably giving the head of the nunnery dosh, right?
Ooh,
well,
yeah.
This is the other thing.
He's probably
wonder.
Just sending the Pope
Mother
a little,
Superior
like,
gets hers. Gets to go to Laura Ashley. The best habit.
Okay. So, another murder occurs. Who is it? Who's the victim?
Oh, there's another one.
There's another
one.
It's
going to be Mariana because they're all like, all the nuns are now scared that they're next. They're like, let's take our old kingpin over here.
Okay. So you think the Count takes care of the source of shame and scandal?
Oh, no, I was going to say all the nuns club together behind her back and kill her none of them can get killed.
Wow.
This is like the opposite of what happens in The Sound of Music when they hold
You know what, I could watch it.
Like, I really encourage
really
her to go out with.
Version of the Von Trapp.
I would watch it more than once if any of this happened. Long movie. Any other guesses?
I guess maybe it might be just another nun that had a bit of a loud mouth.
Or maybe the blacksmith because he... he said something and he's in the village and so now everybody knows.
Oh, he's in trouble with his keys.
That's yeah. right. And I literally said it at the beginning.
Oh, no. That's how drunk
but then Jin.
It's so easy to forget. The blacksmith. The blacksmith is murdered by Osseo. Rumors are spreading by this point, and so Osseo wants to cover his tracks. But to your point, it's like, what happened to good old-fashioned bribing? Like, do you have to take all these people out?
Yeah.
Badass count. And then rumors emerge that Osseo had actually murdered before. So she may have just entered into this affair with this murderous guy who maybe didn't have to take such drastic action, but he's like, this is a great excuse to do what I love. Yeah. Anyway, the governor of Milan hears about all this, and Osseo is arrested in 1607. He's imprisoned. However, he escapes, and he's given a death sentence in absentia. I kind of like the, if we find you,
we'll kill you.
Right now, I'm taking your head off right now.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, Italy.
Was he ever found?
I will ask that in a moment.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting excited.
No, I know. It's a very twisty little thing. Meanwhile, Mariana is tortured until she confesses. And they also torture the count's wife. Poor woman.
No, she's done nothing.
She's done nothing but raise all sorts of children.
Yeah. She's like, what's the name in
What's that show? God, I'm too drunk. This is not like a nice snappy point that it could have been.
What show? Give me any clue.
Okay, it's got dragons in it.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I want that to be the tagline on Sky. It's got dragons in it.
But this woman, she raises this illegitimate son. The dad brings her home from another lady. And she's way famous in it, and I can't remember her name.
Super fan Katie Wilkins. What punishment does Mariana receive for confessing her complicity?
She should receive a big thank you for confessing.
The door. Thank you for being a nun.
You get killed.
Slept with counts and then you're back again.
But like for telling the truth. Be like
for telling the truth after torture. Yeah.
Well done for telling me.
Yeah. Any guesses? What do they do to a nun? What do you do to a slutty nun, guys?
I think she might
I'm just using their words, guys. Their
I don't
words.
Know. I think she might be dead, unfortunately. Ooh. I don't think she... Obviously, she doesn't deserve to be dead. All she's done is met a chap, had a bit of, you know, how's your father? And then suddenly she... Well, no, she has murdered someone. She has been complicit in the murder. But I still don't think... I don't believe in capital punishment, so I don't think
and
she
also,
should die.
There's a theme emerging that we just...
Torture aren't necessarily true.
There's no, like I know. I mean, we know that now. Back in Italy, they're like, you know what? That's how they spoke. That was the accent. It's almost worse than that to me. She's sentenced to solitary confinement in a tiny windowless room for 13 years.
What? Oh, my God.
What? You would rather be killed, right?
Oh, my God. That's awful.
It's awful.
That's horrible.
And then you almost back up and go, you she would cover. Insane, you would do right? anything to cover your tracks if you know that this...
But that's the punishment.
I know that all we do is absolve any woman of any crime on this podcast, but that's a little bit much. So she does, she survives this somehow, and when
Whoa.
She emerges...
She gets through 13 years.
She gets through 13 years, and when she emerges,
She's
she becomes,
ninja.
Of course... Yes, Ninja Nun. Another good series.
Nunja.
Term a nun. See, it never stops. So as she emerges, of course, because punishment leads to sainthood, she's embraced as this sort of saintly figure who has come out the other side.
Oh, she survived the 13 years.
She survived.
They like her again.
They like her again because they're like, well, all right, 13 years
it's
in
like
hell.
It's like prison cell block H, but nuns, right?
Yeah.
Prison cell block
she's
N.
She's like B in prison cell block H.
Oh, nun is the new black. So she ends up working with prostitutes who are sent to the convent. Final question, what happened to Osseo? What happened?
Oh, does he get found?
I think he got away. Yeah, he sounds like a bit of a count.
Changed.
Am I right? Bit of fun.
Did he pay somebody off? Oh, I know, he became president of Italy.
Yeah.
Berlusconi's great, 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 great. Osseo is in fact murdered.
Ooh.
By someone who claimed to be his friend. We don't know the story behind it, but sounds like...
it was his wife.
Oh, what if it was?
I bet it was. I'd kill the fucker. If, yeah. Like, if I was her, I'd be like, I've been tortured. Runner. You've let someone else eat your shit.
That is exclusively for me. You fathered a child.
On our wedding night, I would be eating your shit.
It's okay. I think it's. I think that's what I'm going with. I think it was her.
I like that. Oh. I like that as a note.
But we don't know. Historically, we don't know.
We don't know. I couldn't find any more information other than he was apparently, quote, a friend. What kind of friend murders you? Yeah. One that knows that you're a bastard.
Yeah.
That's who?
Payback.
Payback. It's fun to think about.
It makes unliking on Facebook seem really innocuous.
Yeah.
It
really does.
We don't even know we're born.
Yeah, murdering was like blocking in the 17th century.
Yeah.
You could have just muted the blacksmith. Right. So now, guys, well done on that
well
case.
Done.
Well done.
Crime solved. Cheers, everybody.
Crime solved.
Drunk women solving crime.
We now share a real crime from a listener. So this is just a little quick crime that we need to solve. The best we can. Dear drunk women, I live in London and recently went out to ride my bike and the seat had been stolen. Needless to say, I couldn't ride it, but I left it locked securely. Several days later, the entire bike was taken. Was this the same person? And what should I do about these thefts? Thanks for your help, Jazz.
Someone needs to invent a lock that will keep the bike seat on the, like, you can't just nick the bike seat. Because, like, this is not the first incident I've heard of someone's seat being stolen.
Oh, okay.
It happened to my husband. Oh. And then, like...
was it you? It's like, you're spending so long cycling.
This fucker's not going to be... No. But, like, the people do just nick the seats. And, like, someone should invent, if they haven't already, and they may well have done, I've not Googled it, someone should invent a lock that will keep the make the seat impossible to steal.
I reckon you're right.
And then go on, Dragon's Den.
My thought on the matter is that if it was the same guy that stole the seat and then stole the bike, if I was that guy, I'd do it more incrementally than that.
Like, take the wheel.
Wind him up, yeah. Then take
the chain.
Yeah, just the chain.
Or maybe not like that, make it slightly workable for a while.
Just enough.
And then the brake.
Yeah, and then I'd strip the paint and then like I'd do it bit by bit and he'd never find me. Oh, anyway, guys, I've got to go because I've just had a plan for something.
I like that. That reminds me of a video that I saw maybe a year ago on YouTube where they make a bike look like it's intact, but everything is very wobbly, and they just leave it somewhere to see who's going to steal it, and loads of people do. But like 2 minutes after they get on it, just completely falls over. So they just have footage of like guys, it's all guys, falling over the handlebars and just like collapsing in a field.
That's
and...
the solution. She needs to get the wobbly bike and then catch the perp.
Nice.
I know what she can do. Do you have a cat?
I don't.
Does anybody have a cat?
I do.
So if you're like slightly neurotic about your cat, which I am, you will have bought them a collar which has like a GPS location.
Oh, cool.
So I never understand why people don't put that on their bike.
Yeah.
Because I think some people do.
Do you think somewhere there's like a central thing for this cat GPS thing going, that cat is going so fast. How did it get? It got all the way across London.
It needs to be the Cat Olympics.
I don't think it was the same person. I think there was like a chancer that just took the bike off and then somebody else was like, hey, bike with no seat. That's fine. Brick Lane.
Maybe, yeah, the first person to steal a bicycle seat has just done this knock-on effect whereby every, like, you know, because that person now who has the bike with no seat is going to have to steal a seat from another bike to make that work.
Ooh, supply and demand.
So it's just, so it's just going to be ongoing because one person was dumb enough to be like, oh, I think I'll steal a seat from someone's bike.
Yeah. Can you not steal seats off Boris bikes? Because they always seem to have a seat attached.
Good point. Oh, yes.
So then maybe there's like a way to keep your seat attached and we just all have to bikes. I don't know. Just trying to be practical.
No,
I'd say if I were a bike thief, and I'm not, but I'd be more likely to steal one that already has a part missing. I feel like there's probably a term for this, like
the broken
car
windows.
Effect. Yeah, like just like, oh, it's a piece of shit car. Let's break into this one. Yeah, somebody's already had their way with it. Let's take it. But also, Jazz, just ride the bike, man. You don't need a seat.
But she doesn't have it now
But the
anymore.
Bike's been taken as well.
Well, now it has, but just ride it around a little bit.
Get one of those, like, those electric scooter things. My husband got one of those.
Jazz, have you heard of an Oyster card? Thank you very much.
Get the decoy wobbly bike, your camera set up, and then get a new bike with a special seat. Check out the Boris bikes, look how they do it, and then keep that inside. Have your decoy bike outside.
I had two bikes stolen in London, and then I learned to keep it inside. And I think you need to keep it inside. Same advice for cats. All right, guys. We've been Drunk Women Solving Crime. We hope you've enjoyed us. Thank you so much again to Narina. I knew your name. I was just looking at that to see if I knew. Who are you? You have a beautiful voice, but you do, by the way, have the most stunning voice.
Thank you.
Ever. We can't make you sing. Like,
no.
Time. Okay. Memories.
You asked me to,
listen to our show.
This does look a bit like a grand piano, this table. So. There it is.
Narina, is there anything that we should know about that you've got coming up that you would like to
I have nothing
know?
To sell. I'm just happy to be here.
Aww. Love you. You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well
nice
done all.
Here.
Cheers.
Yay.
Cheers.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.